A soup is described as quick and light like the tapping of a shoe. The chocolate foam on a gourd is said to be created by the same force that shakes the earth during an earthquake and causes the beating of a heart. We must be reading a Diana Kennedy cookbook. She's been called the Julia Child of Mexican cuisine, but the late and lovely Julia might have demurred that she put in far fewer miles than Diana. And it's true. Diana Kennedy has been crisscrossing Mexico for over 50 years, many of them in her white truck with a camper hood and bedroll in the back, CB radio and a trove of opera tapes in the front. As much anthropological researcher as chef, discovering the cuisine that is often forged in forests or dished out at local fiestas, overlooked even in Mexico, until Diana Kennedy saw the sophistication of and subtlety in its techniques and tastes. Diana Kennedy's latest book, her ninth, is Oaxaca al Gusto, An Infinite Gastronomy. It's about the coastal and mountainous Mexican province of Oaxaca, home to 16 indigenous peoples. I asked Diana to give us an example of one of the things they forage for.
There are buds of palms, flower buds, called tepejilotes. It's a seasonal food, and people survive on it and survive very well. So it's a very important food in some of the areas.
Well, let's talk about the three pillars of Oaxacan cuisine, though, that you pinpoint. Chocolate, which I mentioned, you know, there's this wonderful mystery about it. Yeah. Corn and chilies. And so how is chocolate used? I love the description of how there's a belief that it's almost like gold, that people weren't allowed to eat it unless they were nobles.
In the past.
How is it used now?
Of course, most people know it as a drink or a little bit of it in moles. That's also used in making of the foams that go on the top of atole.
Put them on top of drinks, atoles.
These foams, they give happiness, as one Zapotec cook says. They're very interesting. And what is more interesting is the plants or the elements that produce those foams, which are different in every area.
Amazing how many there are, how many different usages. Diana Kennedy, what's it like to go into these homes? And what do they think of you? Because we understand you hear about these dishes. Mm-hmm. It's word of mouth. Somebody makes something extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And so you go find it. What do they think when you arrive?
I know you might very well say this. And here is this woman, English woman. They're very, very generous, because they realize that I'm very serious about learning, not only about what they're doing, but about their lives and about their ingredients. And I say that the book is theirs. Mm-hmm. I've just been the communicator.
You've said you blame NAFTA, the trade agreement between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, for some of the problems in Mexico's agriculture. Explain further. What do you mean?
Well, before, many of the fruits, for instance, were grown in Mexico and appreciated. Now you get these great big tasteless apples. But let's only take one example, because Mexico disgracefully is importing chilies from China. If you go to the markets here and you find, or anywhere over the U.S. where this program goes, and you see chile de árbol, if it does not have a stalk on it, it is from China and it's being imported from Mexico, from China.
It doesn't support the Mexican economy.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And here are these areas, many of them of fragile economies, where they could be growing more of these chilies, and they're not.
And let's stay with authenticity for just a second, because, yes, you're making the point that you want to support these people that you've obviously come to love. But you also are just uncompromising when it comes to, you know, you feel it's important to use these ingredients for the taste and the outcome. Right. But some of them, I can't pronounce them. I'm not even going to try. Squash flour, shepherd's water, I don't even know what I'm paging through. Where could we find them?
You have in your supermarkets, in your specialty markets, exotic ingredients from all over the world. But you do not have the exotica from Mexico. And I want people to be more aware of this. And I want somebody to start little places in all the main towns of the U.S. to bring in these chilies that are only grown in one area in Oaxaca that provide all these wonderful ingredients.
You say create a demand for it.
Yes,
well,
exactly.
You know what, Diana Kennedy? But you say this at a time when I'm sure you're well aware anti Mexico sentiment in this country just feels so powerful, and it's all around the immigration issue.
Yes. Yeah.
And what do you think of that?
I think it's very sad. You see, when I first went to Mexico, I remember the braceros lining up to get their permit to come and cut the crops here. Then they would go back, and they had a permit, and it was correct. And that, I don't know what happened to that. That would just disappeared. I don't know the history of that. Mm. But that should come again, that people do not totally abandon their families and their lands to come up here and do a crop. And this country requires cheap labor to do the crop because nobody in the U.S. is going to do it. Mm. And, of course, it's just this awful racial thing, too, that goes on. You know, I can't help feeling it's terrible that in Arizona saying, oh, we've got to stop these people because they're bringing crime. These immigrants looking for work don't bring crime. It's the drug traffickers that bring crime. And the fact that you are here sending guns and heavy ammunition and stuff to Mexico. Yeah. And that is got to be stopped.
Well, and as someone who travels the country, as I was listening to you, in the past, you know, what we've talked, I haven't thought about this much. But now I'm listening to you talking about the work that you do traveling the country, and I'm thinking, how is that possible? Because the image that we have of Mexico right now is that you drive 10 feet, you'd be dead.
Oh, yeah, that's totally erroneous. I wouldn't suggest anybody goes through Ciudad Juarez, which is a dead town now. I think you just have to be cautious and choose your places where you go. And I think in any part of the world, there is crime and tourists are sitting ducks. So I think just be careful where you go. I have never had a problem ever driving on back roads in Mexico where the embassies say you shouldn't go. Perhaps I've been lucky. I think probably I have.
Well, you said, maybe be cautious, but that made me smile because in many ways, you're one of the most adventurous people that we know. And, you know, I'm just wondering, you told us once before that you went to Mexico for love, you know, you followed your husband there. And you stayed for the adventure, this incredible adventure that you've had now for over 50 years of just getting to know one thing so spectacularly well. What are your reflections on that?
I wish I could have done much more. I had to earn a living. I had no income. So when I'd done my research, I had to put it into a book and then go to the U.S. and everywhere else in the world to teach. And that's very time-consuming. It's wonderful in a way because you can get those flavors out there. I just wish I had more time and had more money to help me stay longer in these places.
Did you ever think when you were a little girl, you know, in England, Mexico, I'm going to be in Mexico someday?
Never. I always love to eat, and it started right there. Mm. If you love to eat, you're going to find out how to cook these things. It all starts if you love to eat and you're curious about things.
That's Diana Kennedy. Has to be the foremost authority on Mexico's cuisines of the people. Her latest book, her ninth, Oaxaca al Gusto, An Infinite Gastronomy, it's exquisite. Diana, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you very much, Robin, for taking this time.